amazing truth that indeed that God loves us and the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity just to consider some thoughts from your word this morning. Lord, you know every one of our lives, where we walk and where we are with you, and we would just invite you to speak out of your word to us. Thank you so much for who you are, Father. Thank you for what's on your heart. Thank you for what you're looking for in our lives, in our walk with you, and I pray you'd speak to us about it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just share some thoughts about what God is looking for, what he wants to see in our lives. I thought about this matter of just comparing the fear of man with the fear of the Lord. And I think if we understand, Scripture says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And to have the fear of man in your life, you're controlled by what you think others are thinking about you, what they may be thinking about you. And really, what's your activity, how you talk, how you act, is controlled by really what you think they're thinking about you. Now, the fear of the Lord, on the other hand, and just one of the verses, Scripture is filled with the blessings of having the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor and life. And so the fear of the Lord is rather that we know that his eyes are on us. We want to please him. We want to do what he's looking for in our lives. We want to honor him. And that's what the fear of the Lord is all about. And so it's been on my mind just in my own walk with the Lord, and I want to share some thoughts on what is God looking for? What is he looking for in my life? And there are three different ones that I just want to look at, and they have, as we have this time this morning. And the first is a heart that is right with him, a right attitude toward him and a right heart toward God. The second is he's looking for intercessors, those that will stand in the gap before him when you see a need. And then the third is looking for those who will say, restore. And I'll come to a passage of scripture where it says God looks for that. He wants somebody to say when they see a need, God, restore. So first of all, and I know that I had us drop right into this story with Asa here, but a wonderful message comes from God's messenger to Asa, which at the time really made Asa mad. Now, Asa was the great-great-grandson of David, king over Judah. And I just want to point out, first of all, earlier in chapter 14, our brother Frank was reading out of 16. Earlier in his reign, he had a huge host army come against him from Ethiopia. It said a million man army. And then the King James says 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. But here's his prayer. They were not up to it. He knew they were not up to it. But this is Asa crying out to the Lord in 14:11. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. The very next verse 12 says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians. And so he had that experience. He had that kind of heart. He was doing good things in Judah and having them seek the Lord with all of their heart, and was an excellent king. In the 32nd year, and that's what our brother read this morning, there was a problem in the days after Solomon because of Solomon going off the rails and introducing idolatry back into Israel because he married so many wives, and his wives took his heart away from the Lord. The nation divided, and so you have Israel, the northern kingdom, with 10 of the tribes, and you have Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom, and so they have their own kings. And so the story was, as Frank read it this morning, that this northern king of he was going to make a blockade so people couldn't go to Judah. They couldn't go to the southern kingdom. And so what does Asa do? I don't know how many years later this is, when he had the million-man army against him, and the wonderful prayer that, God, you're able to do it. We look to you. This time he decided to hire the Assyrian king. Would you come and take care of this matter? And he took the treasuries out of the house of the Lord and paid Assyria to come and take care of it. And the truth is, they did come and they took care of it. But Assyria was something that was an enemy that needed to be taken care of in the future. And so God sent a messenger to Asa, and that's the verse that I just share with you again, where he said, you did rely on the Lord, and he came to help you, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. What an amazing verse, amazing truth, that came at a time when Asa, in fact, King Asa was so angry, he put that guy in prison, and he oppressed some of the people during that time. He came down with a horrible foot disease, and the end of his time was not good. But he did not understand. One of the things I had to think about, this is a wonderful truth that the messenger gave to him that we need to know and be encouraged by, but it came at a time in Asa's life that he didn't like it at all. But I want to just remind us, that's one of the things that God is looking for. I had to, I don't fly much, I did some, but I remember thinking about that verse when you were not so high, you could see a farm down here, you could see buildings over here. And I just asked the Lord, what do you see in that house? Your eyes are running all through the earth, wanting to find those whose heart is perfect toward you so you can show yourself strong in their behalf. That's one of the things I want to remind us that God is looking for, is those whose heart is right with him. For what reason? So he can show himself strong in their behalf. God is a blesser, and he is such a desire to bless those that are walking in a way that he can bless them. And I just thought about a couple that are pointed out, obviously, in Scripture. In Acts 13:22, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You remember the story, Samuel was sent when King Saul was needing to be replaced, to Jesse, and he said, one of his sons, I found him. And you remember he started with the oldest one, and those older sons looked like they might be king material. And he went through all his sons, and the Lord said, it's not him, it's not him. It's, do you have any other son? Samuel asked, well, yeah, I have a David. He's out herding the sheep, a kid, a young man out there herding the sheep. We're not going to sit down till you bring him. And when he brought him, said, this is he. And God said, I have found him. He's looking for those whose heart is right before him. David did not live a perfect life, but David had a heart to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, and he found him. In Genesis 6, in that horrible time before the flood, when God said he saw that the imagination of men's heart was only evil continually, he said, I've seen you, Noah. Noah, you found grace in my eyes. And he found Noah, and the word says that he became a preacher of righteousness to an ungodly group of people in that day. Only Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were spared. from that flood of judgment that came. He had found Noah. And of course, God knew exactly about Job. And he even brought him up to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He turns away from evil and he honors me. And you know that God used him to expose the wickedness of Satan, but in the end, he blessed him in such very special ways. And so my question would be, what does God see as he sees my life, as he watches my life, as he watches your life? And I just put that before us again. His very eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth in order to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is right before him. Such a, to me, a challenge to walk in a way that God can bless and that he is pleased with. That's part of the fear of the Lord, is wanting to do what honors and pleases him. The second one that I wanted us to consider is that he is looking for intercessors. And the verse that I would point out, it's in Ezekiel 22. In Ezekiel 22, talking about what had been going on with God's people and how they were not living righteously, and they were living in such a way that God was going to have to punish them. And so it says here in the verse 30, let me read verse 29 first. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. They have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. It was a bad day with a lot of wrong things going on. Verse 30 says this, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad, sad verse. God is saying, and I want to just say a little bit about intercession. If he could find those that would come before him on behalf of the land, so he wouldn't have to destroy, he wouldn't have to bring horrible punishment on them. I sought for a man that would stand in the gap before me for the land, but I found none. The next verse says, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. He needed an intercessor. Something we need to understand about the ways of God, that he has this principle that when there is a need, if there will be those that come before him to intercede, those that come before him to ask him for his help, to turn the wickedness away, that he will listen and he will heed. And I share that so that we'll be intercessors. When we see need, we have a day, Wednesday night, I was mentioning as we pray for our leaders, we need to intercede for our nation and the way we're going, that we not be destroyed. A couple reminders of examples of intercession. One certainly was Daniel. They were off in Babylon and they're there for 70 years, but it's so interesting. Daniel, it's recorded there, his prayer. He was a righteous man. He lived for the Lord, but he was able to come before the Lord and said, we have sinned. We have done unrighteousness, and we need healing. We need restoring. And I think it was so important that there be an intercessor before God restored them after that 7 years of exile off in Babylon. There are many examples of intercessors, but I want to just point out for a moment Moses. And it's pretty amazing. There are two different situations where there were others that he was intercessing for the people. But one was when he was on the mountain for this long period of time, 40 days, 40 nights, he was bringing down the, the stone with the Ten Commandments on them. And God said something about the people have defiled themselves. And when he saw it, he threw that stone down and crushed it and had to be another one made. Anyway, Aaron had, he had made a calf to symbolize God's power bringing them out. And they began to worship that, and they were involved in sin. And I'm not turning to it right now, but God said to Moses, stand aside, I'm going to destroy this people, and I will make of thee a greater nation. And it had to be the Spirit of God that filled Moses at that time to intercede. And it's a pretty interesting story, because he goes through, what will the Egyptians say if you destroy these people? You brought them out in the wilderness to destroy them. And the promises that you made to our forefathers, why would you do that? And he was pleading for them. And the word says, I hear your prayer, and I change my mind, and I'm not going to destroy them. God needed an intercessor. He looked for an intercessor to stand in the gap, to come before him for the land. The other time was at Kadesh Barnea, where they were ready to go in. They sent in 12 spies to look over the land, and it could have gone in at that time, but 10 came back, says we can't do it, and they discouraged the whole group. And we can't go in, we can't do it. They were unbelieving believers. They were out, but they were not in, and they didn't trust God to be able to do it. Same thing again. God said, Moses, I'm going to disinherit them at this time. I'm done with them, to bring them out here and not believe. Again, and it's quite an intercession that Moses says, why would you do that, God? And he pled for them, and it says God changed his mind. Well, it's an interesting thing that it was God, the Holy Spirit, that obviously was stirring Moses up to pray in that situation. But they're an example of intercession. I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap before me for the land, and I didn't find any. One of the things that God is looking for, as you see situations that need God's help, that need God to turn things away from where they're headed and what's going on. It may be in your families, it may be at your work, in our schools, whatever, but he needs intercessors. He's looking for intercessors. The third one that, and I go to Isaiah 42 for, and I know I'm picking out, but I think these are three real main things that God is looking for. I know he's looking for humility before him. He's looking for those that are trusting him in humility, but I want to just share this matter. He is looking for those that will say, restore. And I just give you two verses. This is Isaiah 42, 22 and 23. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Now in this chapter, it's talking about the bad things are going on, and he looks toward the day the Messiah would come, and is pointed out in this 42nd chapter. But I just want to remind you, we've talked about this, but when Jesus began his ministry right in his hometown, right reading Isaiah 61, and to read that, and I remind you what it said, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare the good news to the poor, those that know they are spiritually in poverty. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted. He has sent me to set captives free. He has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to also to open eyes. Jesus Christ came to restore. Now, he came, obviously, ultimately to pay the price for our salvation and to be crucified for our sin, that we could be born into God's kingdom. But he also came to show God's heart to restore. And he walked around in those 3 years restoring people. And you know, I just share this verse again. In the midst of dark times, he said, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil. None saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? And I want to just do it by way of testimony. God has his own plans and purposes in all of our lives, how he wants to use us. Paul made it clear that the Holy Spirit gives different kind of gifts to Christians. Some are great at evangelism. It doesn't mean we should all evangelize. We should all be sharing Christ with people. But there will be some that will be teachers. There will be different kinds of gifts in the body of Christ. Looking back, God had in mind, obviously, because I've been on the backside of things involved in this for about 50 years, of trying to help people be restored from horrible things that came upon them, purposed by the wicked one in their childhoods that they've had to live with. And looking back, and I want to share this just to help you know that God's always in the process of getting done what he wants to do in your life. It's important that we respond. I guess it was in my last year of college that, and I've shared this with some of you, but I went back to Vermilion, South Dakota, University of South Dakota, to study for my German quiz the next day. And I needed to study. I had trouble with German. Anyway, I went to go to study, and it was like the Lord said, no, I want you to go to my word. And I kept fighting that for a while, and I cannot tell you how the Lord did it. But finally, I got on my knees by the bed, and I went to the book of Joel. And I spent most of the night, the Lord talking to me, just as I looked through the book of Joel and what he was teaching, but what I came away with, and I will restore the years that the locust hath eaten. The people were in bad shape. They were ravaged by the enemy, but they turned to God, and he said, I'm going to restore them from those years that they were so ravaged, that they were so taken advantage of. And so I thought, well, thank you, God, for what you're talking to me about. But anyway, I laid that away at my heart. And then I think it was in the summer, right after my first year in seminary, I was doing some yard work for somebody, and and I kept hearing in my ears, seemed like I was hearing cries. I was in Chicago, and it was somewhere southwest of there. And it was significant enough that I felt like God was, somebody's in need, somebody's hurting, somebody needs help. Again, I then soon went to Central Christian. And I thought, maybe it's the students at Central Christian that are crying. I assumed, no, it's not that. So they're doing fine, seem to be doing fine anyway. I had probably about 50 years ago, my sister, and I've told you this, and I say this because I think God wanted me to know that this is not something that I went after and sought. There was some group in Nebraska that was working with spiritual warfare and helping people get free from bondage. And my sister, that's now home to heaven, said, you need to look into this. This would be important to look into. I remember my words, I'm not interested. And I'm sure God smiled. I don't know how soon after that, but it was right here in this room. with an incident with my daughter that's turning 50, and she was, I don't know, she was months old, that we had an episode here that opened my eyes to the spiritual battle, the reality of the spiritual battle. I knew what Scripture said, but it wasn't that real to me, the truth that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And so anyway, that was an eye-opening day, and I suppose it was in just within a couple weeks that I got a chaplain call. I was on the police sheriff chaplaincy at the time, and they said, we have this gal, she was sitting on the curb somewhere here in town, and they found her, and they said, she wants to commit suicide but doesn't want to commit suicide, and we don't know what to do with her. Would you come talk with her? And that was an introduction to someone that desperately wanted to get out of being ritualized into witchcraft. Horrible. Her grandfather had been responsible for it, and she was very needy, and God taught us at that time how to recover ground, how to get her to be free from what had happened in her life. And so we worked through that, and one of the reasons that I put that, wanted to put the verse on the back of the bulletin was that second, and I wonder what motivated, I know it's the Lord, but what circumstances were in Charles Wesley's life for him to write this verse, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. The reason that I'm saying that, after working with her for some time, and some others helped in working with her, we learned so much about the spiritual battle and how to recover spiritual ground that has been stolen away. She loved that verse, and she painted a picture of her coming out of this cave with the chains broken, and it was so significant to her of how God had brought freedom to her. God has continued to send people that need freedom, that have gone through these horrors. And so I've come to the place, God says, who will say restore? I say restore. And I urge you, he may, you see situations that desperately need to be restored. God's able. Come before him and say, God, restore. He may not use you in involved, but he may. It's obvious from what Jesus did when he came, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to do all these things. And then you know it just tipped them upside down, because Jesus said, this day, this prophecy in Isaiah 61 is fulfilled in your hearing. God is doing that through me. And you know what? God wants to do that through his children. We become aware of situations that desperately need to be restored. So he is saying, who will say, restore? God knows how to take care of that. It's part of intercession. So I just want to remind you of those three things this morning. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is right with him. Walk with him. Abide in him. Have your heart right with him. He's got things he wants to do with your life. I sought for a man that would stand in the gap before me for the land and intercede. I didn't find anybody. Be an intercessor. And then those that will say, restore. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you see the work of the thief, the destroyer, that has taken captive, that has hurt, that has bruised and wounded people that need restoration. Lord, thank you for the privilege of bringing us into your family and giving us your Spirit. And may it be a deep concern in our hearts to respond to what you're looking for. Lord, you know what you want to do in each life here and how you want to use each life here. There's people around that need intercession. There's people around that need to be restored. Show us your way, God, and use us in a way that will please you, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. What I want to do in closing, just in my memory of this dear girl that got free from the bondages that she was under and was so excited about this verse, I'd like us to close with just that middle verse on the back of your bulletin and know that God will do that. He's all about doing that sort of thing. So if you'd stand, we'll sing "Long My Imprisoned Spirit Lay" as we close. Thank you, Father, for every child of yours here, that you have a plan and a purpose, not only for them to grow in likeness of you, Lord Jesus, but to be of ministry, to intercede and pray, to walk in such a way that you can show yourself strong in their life. Lord, may we walk in the fear of the Lord and accomplish what you have in mind so that when we stand before you, we can say, thank you for doing what I chose for you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.